Good day, and welcome to the Mail.ru Group first quarter 2021 financial results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Tatiana. Please go ahead.
Thank you all, and welcome to Mail.ru Group's first quarter unaudited financial results conference call. I'm joined by Борис Добродеев, Matthew Hammond, Fedor Uptsov, Vladimir Gabrielian, and Vladimir Nikolskiy. In our recognition of the likely lasting effects of the pandemic on multiple spheres of human life, and in response to internal employee surveys, our company is testing a hybrid working regime, which means that we are currently in multiple different locations. Hence, coordination during Q&A might cause some minor delays in our responses, and we kindly ask you to pose one question at a time during the Q&A session to keep things manageable on our end. We promise to take time to answer all of your follow-up questions, and thank you in advance for your understanding and cooperation. Before I pass it on to Matthew, I will read the safe harbor statement. Please note that our results press release contains statements of expectations and other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of the group. The forward-looking statements in the release are based upon various assumptions that are inherently subject to significant uncertainties and contingencies, which are difficult or impossible to predict and may be beyond the group's control. Many factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those discussed in the forward-looking statements, including those referenced under risk factors in the group's public filings. We would like to direct you to read the forward-looking disclaimer at the back of our release, particularly with respect to the possible differences between management and IFRS accounts. Matthew, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. We had a strong start to 2021 with revenue growth of 27.4%, which would have been around 30% without the temporary loss of the VAT tax benefits to part of our IVAS business, which we experienced in Q1. We'll run through the details of this in a minute. The acceleration was driven by the ongoing recovery of our online advertising business, along with the continued strong performance of MMO games revenue coming from My Games, as well as other revenues, mainly driven by the online education segment. EBITDA in Q1 grew 8% to 6.1 billion. Excluding the VAT effect, EBITDA growth would have grown 13% to 6.3 billion. We continue to invest into growth and the strengthening of our business and ecosystem. Our key focus areas include video, particularly clips, video and audio calls for personal and professional use, music, social commerce, games, digital education, and ecosystem products, including VK Combo, VK Connect, VK Pay, voice, and mini apps. Despite all of the ongoing initiatives, our plan remains unchanged: to deliver a certain level of margin improvement for the group in 2021. This was not yet visible in Q1, mainly due to the ongoing mix shift towards My Games, which accounted for nearly 40% of group revenues for the quarter versus 35% a year earlier. This is likely to reverse in Q2, given the combination of a low COVID base for advertising versus the high base for online games, along with the expected return to growth for IVAS, which will support not only growth but also profitability of the core communication and social segment and the entire group. We'd also note that Q1 already showed improvement in profitability in games as well as new initiative segment, and would reiterate that both revenue growth and EBITDA margin at a group level are in great focus for the entire management team. I'll now provide a few highlights across the key business areas. First of all, advertising. Advertising revenues in Q1 grew by 22% to nearly 10.5 billion rubles, with strong acceleration versus the 10.2% growth in the fourth quarter. Acceleration was driven not only by the ongoing macroeconomic recovery, but also a continuous investment into ad tech, focused on performance ad formats and scaling of the SMB initiatives. Some of the best performing verticals in Q1 were FMCG, entertainment, health, medicine, work, education, and finance. We saw improvements in performance across the board, but some of the relatively underperforming verticals during the quarter were travel, autos, telcos, beauty, dating, and real estate. Amongst products and services, VK remains the major growth engine with its revenue growth of 21.2% in the first quarter. In terms of client types, we remain focused on growing the advertising revenue contribution from SMBs, with related revenues outperforming the overall ad revenue growth in Q1. We see major further potential for expansion here, given that less than 10% of the 3 million businesses active across our two major social networks are currently our commercial advertising clients. Within ad formats, we're also raising penetration into video, as reflected in the 36% growth in our in-stream video ad segment in Q1. The ongoing overall ad business strength is reflected in growth of the average ECPM in the My Target auction, which accelerated versus Q4 by almost 20%. Given the low base effect of Q2 and assuming no changes to the underlying environment, we currently expect further acceleration in advertising revenues in the current quarter. As for the long term, our targets remain unchanged, and we continue to move towards better aligning our share of local online advertising market with our leading positions in audience reach and time spent, with an ambition to hold 20%+ digital share in the midterm versus today's around 15%. Secondly, IVAS. IVAS saw a temporary decline of 3.6% in Q1, driven by the ongoing IT tax legislation changes, which are actually expected to have a net positive effect on the industry as well as the group in the long run. As part of the new legislation since January, VAT exemption only applied to licensed software and databases, including the local register of domestic software. Previously, the exemption applied to all software and databases. This means there was no application of the previously applied VAT exemption to parts of our IVAS revenues for the majority of Q1 until we were included into the domestic software register towards the end of March. We estimate the adverse revenue impact was around 580 million rubles, with a consequent 260 million reduction to EBITDA for the quarter. Excluding this effect, IVAS growth would have been around 8% year over year in the first quarter. As the process of getting into the register has been successfully completed, we expect normalized IVAS performance in Q2, with mid-single-digit growth for IVAS anticipated for full year 2021, in line with our initial budget and group's guidance provided in February. Communications and social, including VK. VK, our core product and the center of our ecosystem, remains the largest component of the core communication and social segment. VK maintains its leading positions amongst the local social networks, with the business delivering above 21% total revenue growth in the first quarter, with acceleration versus the 17.2% seen in the fourth quarter. VK's Russian MAU stood at 73 million, with DAU growing by nearly 6% to 48 million, and 70% of users visiting VK daily. The number of services on the VK mini apps platform rose by 90% year over year in Q1 and is approaching 30,000, with MAU growing by more than 35% year over year and DAU up 80% year over year in March. Product innovations continue, and the launch of Multi-Market, a single B2B platform for managing stores on VK, OK, AliExpress and Eula, updated Messenger, video calls and the music section in Q1. VK Clips has shifted to the new initiatives reporting segment as of Q1, which is the same as the broader ecosystem-related projects such as VK Connect and VK Super App Kit, given that they're cross-segment initiatives. The communications and social segment saw 8% year-over-year growth in Q1. This is due to more than a third of the segment's revenue growth coming from IVAS, which saw the previously discussed temporary VAT hit in Q1. Excluding this effect, the segment would have expanded by 12%. Given the expected return to growth for IVAS in Q2, we expect the segment to exhibit stronger growth in the second quarter. Games. MyGames growth exceeded 42% in the quarter, reaching 11 billion, despite no new game releases during Q1. Amongst the major growth drivers was the ongoing solid performance of existing franchise and other titles, along with the successful late Q4 launch of Rush Royale. We also continue to see good traction from recent acquisitions, such as the Deus Cross Studios. Given that nearly 80% of MyGames revenues comes from outside of Russia/CIS, currency also had an effect. In constant currency terms, growth was 30%. Rush Royale was launched in late Q4 and was internally developed by our IT territory studio. The title was developed in a fully remote work environment and with only around $300,000 in development cost. It is now approaching 6 million downloads and has surpassed 1 billion in cumulative revenues. Grand Hotel Mania, which was recently consolidated from the Deus Cross studio, continues to perform well, with an earn-out payment of around 300 million to be made in the coming days as part of the related consolidation deal announced last October, based on the 350 million rubles of its monthly revenue in March. The deal highlights our effective M&A strategy around early stage investments. Our franchise titles, also continued to show good performance, with War Robots now surpassing $500 million in lifetime revenues, and Warface Go receiving Best Shooter Award from Pocket Gamer in March. The My Games store is showing positive traction, with DAU of 2.5 million, and prospects for synergies from porting our mobile games to PC via the My Games store, and therefore providing a boost to their revenues. Despite the anticipated short-term slowdown in growth in Q2 due to the high base effect after the in excess of 45% growth in My Games seen in Q2 2020, we aim to try to be around the record Q2 2020 revenues levels for this quarter. This will be supported by titles like Rush Royale and Grand Hotel Mania, and we remain committed to double-digit organic growth for My Games in 2021. Amongst the near-term launches, we're currently preparing Dino Squad at Pixonic Studio for a relaunch following multiple enhancements of the game, and we have one additional mobile title close to global launch, subject to the success of its related beta testing. We are also in active pursuit of value-accretive consolidation opportunities, which could further support the MyGames growth. We'd like to highlight that the MyGames Venture Capital Fund entered Games One's top 10 global gaming venture funds list, with over 35 existing minority holdings with paths to control and six completed consolidations, which we've managed to scale multiple times during closing. Since closing. MyGames margins should see quarter-on-quarter improvement throughout 2021, with peak profitability expected in Q4, with a goal to deliver margin improvements for MyGames in 2021 and a commitment to deliver 20%+ EBIT margins for the business in the coming years. Online education. EdTech revenues have nearly tripled in Q1 to $2.2 billion, with its share of group's revenues already at 7%, with continued strong growth from both Geekbrains and the Skillbox assets. The segment was at break-even level in Q1, with Q1 typically being the low point in the year in terms of margins, given the active new course launches and generally seasonal heavy marketing. Furthermore, the assets are seeing incrementally higher tax burdens as their scale grows, with Skillbox having to start to pay VAT. There is also a certain effect of a post-COVID year where platforms have to invest more into marketing given less organic traffic. Despite the expected post-COVID growth normalization, we anticipate further strong growth for EdTech in 2021, with up to $9 billion in expected revenues and a positive EBITDA margin. New initiatives. This segment's profitability improved, driven by the progress towards break-even from EULA, which had an EBITDA loss of around 200 million rubles for the quarter, versus nearly $1 billion during the same period last year. EULA revenue growth was 15%, which is a function of our focus on the launched integration of EULA and VK in December, which helped drive 27% year-over-year growth in MAU to 33 million in March. In 2021, we continue to target 3.6 to 3.9 billion rubles in revenue for EULA, with progress towards break-even, which we anticipate in 2022. Amongst other initiatives, Worky was rebranded into VK Jobs, having contributed 20% of EULA's classified revenues, with related DAU rising to nearly 50% year-over-year, and the number of new CVs increasing by 2x year-over-year in Q1. The service will continue its integration with other MRG properties, such as VK, OK, EULA, and our email service during 2021. VK Clips reached a new peak of nearly 250 million views per day in March, with a DAU of 15 million. Time spent per user grew almost 50% versus September, with the number of users spending more than 10 minutes per day on VK Clips rising by a quarter year to date, with this consumption being additive to the overall VK engagement. And hence, we're confident that Clips will help drive overall time spent on VK. Content quality is also being enhanced, with recommendations being increasingly personalized and the launches of exclusive content such as interactive film. Amongst the other new initiatives, we saw a recommendations platform combined revenue almost double towards 200 million in Q1, and the amount of people using both of our recommendation platforms reaching 62.4 million per month, up nearly 40% year over year. Ecosystem progress. Authentication via VK Connect, Unified ID, done outside of VK exceeded 9 million a month in Q1 versus less than 2 million last June, with a total of more than 29 million users outside of VK having used it for authentication since the launch 9 months ago. 16 of the group services have now been integrated into VK Connect versus 12 at year end. The number of active loyalty program subscribers rose nearly 10x year over year as of March, with further CVP enhancements for our integrations with AliExpress, MyGames Cloud, third-party e-reading platforms, as well as our internal music system expected. Super App rollout continues with the launch of a Super App on the basis of our email service, which now incorporates calendar, audio and video calls, cloud service, tasks, and voice. We continue to envisage our services as increasingly cross-integrated and personalized, with potential for multiple valuable super apps, which we can offer to the more than 93% of Russian internet users who sit within our ecosystem. Joint ventures, the O2O JV. The JV saw its GMV double year over year in Q1 to above 40 billion rubles. Delivery Club's revenues grew by 1.8 times to 3.2 billion rubles, with 1.6 times growth in orders to nearly 17.6 million, a 61% 1P share in March, with more than 43,000 in connected partners, which is nearly three times over what it was a year ago. Delivery Club continues to demonstrate improvement in unit economics, with further enhancing its pricing and marketing processes, as well as AI and analytical instruments in logistics. Samokat revenues expanded by more than 10 times to 6 billion rubles on the back of nearly 8 times growth in orders to 11 million, including up to 160,000 in daily orders in March. Samokat's dark store base expanded by more than 3.5 times year over year to 490 in March. It launched operations in four new major cities in Q1 and plans to be present across all Russian cities with population of more than 1 million in the next couple of months. Local Kitchen serviced two times more orders year over year and more than doubled its revenues to nearly 1 billion in Q1, with 45 dark kitchens across Moscow. City Mobile exceeded 50 million in rides with GMV growth of 53% year over year to 14.3 billion rubles, with growth supported by its ongoing effort in B2B and premium segments, both expanding by three times year over year in Q1. Completion rates, driver utilization, and ETAs continue to improve, with contribution per trip improving in Q1. AER. Our partners have recently done a call detailing their full year and Q1 results, which they plan to do on a more regular basis going forward. In Q1, the local marketplace of AER continued its triple-digit year-over-year growth, which suggests ongoing share gains. This has continued into Q2, with growth of local orders more than tripling year-over-year, and combined AER JV nearly doubling year-over-year so far in April. AER plan remains to balance local and CV businesses already by the end of the current financial year. In terms of the ongoing investments, EBITDA burn rates was at a low single-digit level versus GMV in Q1. Despite the rising level of investment, we're pleased with the platform's efficient expansion. Finally, guidance and governance. Our strategic priorities for full year 2021 remain unchanged, and our guidance remains unchanged. We continue to expect revenues of 127 to 130 billion rubles, with an improvement in EBITDA margin year over year. While growing our business, we continue to evolve as a public company, seeking ways to improve internal governance standards and disclosure to help drive shareholder value. As part of this, part of the multiple ongoing initiatives, we no longer report on a pro forma basis, with asset consolidation scope now fully in line with IFRS reporting. Also, as was guided at the beginning of the last year, starting from Q1, we started to provide net income contribution from material associates and JVs within management accounts with granular breakdown for the various contributions. Again, this serves to reduce the differences between management and IFRS accounts. To provide more transparency across the various pieces of our expanding business, EdTech is now presented as a separate reporting segment, which is the practice we aim to continue as the various parts of our business reach sufficient scale and prove profitability. Our recent ESG survey helped us identify certain focus areas important for the external community. We appreciate your feedback, having taken it on board and aim to incorporate it in our upcoming sustainability report. With that, I thank you and would now like to turn to Q&A, where we'll leave as much time as we can for that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. If the answer of your question has been already answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, it's star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. Our first question comes from Miriam Adisas from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, just on advertising, if you could just sort of comment on what you've been seeing over the last couple of weeks in April as you sort of lapped easier comps, just to get a sense of what growth is looking like now. I'll ask my questions one by one, so you can go ahead and do that first. Thanks.
Yeah. Hello, Miriam. Thank you for the question. So, look, we see continued improvement in the ad market, and of course, given that in April, like the really easy comps start, we see like significant ad growth acceleration in comparison to March. I mean, it is really significant. So generally, if we look at the shape of the market, we see segments like FMCG, entertainment, health and medicine, work, employment, education and finance improving. While travel, autos, telcos, beauty, dating, and real estate still a little bit underperforming. But generally, we think we're entering the quarter with quite encouraging numbers.
Great, thank you. Then my next question is on Delivery Club. So I see that you had a slight increase in active customers between Q4 and Q1, and frequency slightly went down. So just, again, what are you sort of seeing as you lap the COVID comms? Are you seeing any change in user behavior as people sort of go back to normal? And sort of what are you expecting this year in terms of the balance of growth between frequency and further customer growth?
I think, thank you for this question, Miriam. I still think and see that we retain most of the cohorts that we acquired during the COVID. And I think that, you know, we are growing the business at such a high rate despite a very, very high base. It is a good sign. So we still see, like as of now, we see both the elevated size of user base as well as elevated level of activity per user. So the level of activity decreased slightly sequentially quarter on quarter, but it is still meaningfully above pre-COVID level. So we are very, very optimistic. And I think going forward, yes, we think that there is a structural shift in user behavior. And also we see, you know, higher user engagement thanks to this, and also thanks to higher engagement in the e-grocery segment of Delivery Club.
Great, thank you. And my final question just on the super app strategy. I think you mentioned you're sort of planning to have, or you see potential for multiple super apps. So just wondering how you're thinking about that in terms of what the different user proposition would be across these different super apps, and whether there's any potential sort of conflict or sort of will you integrate multiple services within different super apps, like sort of how are you thinking about sort of splitting all your assets across different platforms?
Yes, thank you very much, Miriam. Great question. So look, there are two angles at which we look at this question. First, it's user happiness and user satisfaction. So we are not building like super apps for initially for business purposes. So we are using it, building them where it's like really organically for the user to get some additional use cases. So this is the strategy we pursue. Number two, we think that, as we said before, we don't believe in the concept of one super app. We think not only in Russia, but even within certain like holdings or groups of companies, there might be a couple of super apps which are built around different use cases. So in like Mail.ru group, you generally have VK super app, which has a super, super broad audience. And already because of the like super high breadth of audience, it has a lot of use cases. It has like probably the most advanced super app and mini app platform in Russia, with like more than 29,000 different apps being present on the platform. And for example, with BK, what we see is the breadth of usage, it is very high. It is from gaming apps to taxi, to food delivery, to health, to different, I don't know, steps tracking, to productivity, to marketing tools. It's like indeed super high, given the high exposure to very broad audience. So if we talk, for example, about email, we're starting to roll out email super app strategy. There we see kind of more angle towards productivity, where the users use a lot of calendar services, as well as cloud services, and kind of more productivity type of cases. So like and we would continue to develop in the email in this direction. So if you look at, for example, food delivery, our food delivery apps also generate kind of high frequency audience. So if you look at the delivery club, and I think also Samokat, they're actually starting to aggregate a lot of cases around food delivery. So I think that if you look at Delivery Club, it originally started as like just a ready-to-eat food delivery app. Now it has very fast-growing grocery segment. So I think this is also kind of a super app of its own, and even City Mobile is kind of building the super app case around mobility, where you have ride-hailing, car sharing, and also like electric scooters built into its functionality. So I think this is where I see the kind of the super app market going. I think it's logical. So I think like big traffic generators, they will survive and increase their market share, and probably kind of smaller, less frequency apps will probably fade or become niche. And then, of course, one more trend is, of course, voice. So voice will play kind of big role in super app strategies. So what we see now, we introduced voice technologies into email and to VK. So, for example, in email, we're working a lot on on the functionality to read your letters. I think it's very convenient. So I think in the future, very big percentage of all your communication with email information will happen via voice assistant. So I hope I gave all my ideas on the super app strategy and super app market now.
No, that's great. Thank you for all that detail. Thank you.
Yeah,
now
thank you.
Our next question from Cesar Tiron from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Thanks for the call and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. I have a couple on the advertising and social networks, so probably as these together, and one on the O2O JV. So the first one on the advertising, on the 22% advertising growth that you reported, is there any tailwind from FX? I'm thinking about, for example, any in-game advertising revenue that that you might have had, or anything like that. And then the second question on that segment would be on the big OPEX increase. I think margins were down about 9 percentage points in communication and social. Just wanted to understand better. What projects are you pursuing, and where basically have you invested, and if we should expect in the next quarters that this pressure of on communication and social will be less than what we've seen in Q1. Thank you so much.
Cesar, hi, it's Matthew. I'll answer the first question on FX. There is a very small FX, but it's not enough to move the needle, to be honest. It's really rounding errors there. So I really you know, it's really not relevant. And I'm sorry, the second question we missed. Could you just repeat the second question?
Yeah, sorry about that. So basically, I just wanted to have a bit more clarity on the OpEx. I think, you know, the margins on communication and social were down about 9%, 9 percentage points versus last year. I think, you know, OpEx was up about 30%. So just if you help us understand a bit better, what are the key drivers? You seem to be investing quite a lot in the social networking. Is that content? Is that technology? What is it? In any case, it seems to be increasing faster than revenue, unless I get this wrong.
Susan, hi, it's Matthew. There are a couple of effects here. First of all, obviously, IVAS, you know, we lose, IVAS falls into social communications, and because of the temporary VAT effect we had in Q1, as we said, that removed $600 million of revenue and over $200 million of EBITDA. So that obviously does have an effect. The other two effects are, one is a rollover from headcount growth late last year, and the second is Clips, where we do continue to invest. This is really driving traffic, video, mini apps, social commerce, all of these areas we continue to invest in because they're absolutely core to the increased time spent online and the growth in user numbers. And I think Boris is going to add another couple of comments.
Yeah. So Matthew, thank you very much. So just to add what Matthew just said. So look, there are a lot of projects that lie within this segment. So for example, in email and portal, which is also part of the communication part, there are a lot of, you know, important like ecosystem projects, R&D heavy projects. So things like single ID, things like Comba, things like Marusi virtual assistant devices, Capsule speaker, and all the devices, and even search actually lies within this sector. So generally, all of the video technologies that Matthew just mentioned, they almost all lie within this sector. So, you obviously noted, we're getting more and more transparent with our reporting, but still social and communication have a lot of kind of R&D heavy stuff, related to this sector. If you completely strip them out and leave clear cut like social networks, the picture would obviously be the same, right? So I hope I gave the overview. So there are multiple projects which are kind of lower margin than core social and communication, which lie within this sector. They are not that high margin, but obviously they are, if you look at where the world is going, they're absolutely existential for the existence of Mail.ru Group and our ecosystem in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was very clear.
Sorry, this is Fedor here. Just a small technical correction that overall what Boris said is right. However, a couple of the products are actually in the new initiatives, such as Marusia and the capsule. But overall, that's right. There are indeed quite a number of R&D heavy products which are sitting within the communications and social.
Thank you so much. Just one other question, please. Sorry about it. On the O2O JV, do you disclose? I haven't seen it, but do you disclose how much cash is left in the JV? And do you think you can help us a little bit understand what the burn run rate, on a cash flow basis, on a yearly level for this year at the JV, and how much cash this JV needs in your view to be to reach break even, and if it needs cash, will it be only funded by the current two shareholders in your view? Thank you.
No, I would not comment on this topic, as I think information is quite competitively sensitive. So we would refrain from answering this question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're now going to move to our next question from Vladimir Bispalov from VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. My first question will be on tech. When I look at the first quarter revenues and at your full year guidance, it actually implies that in the three subsequent quarters there will be no sequential growth. So maybe you could comment a little bit why do you expect no growth, no sequential growth, or maybe your guidance is pretty conservative and there is upside. Plus, are there any options in the attack segment which you can exercise and to consolidate more assets in the coming quarters? This will be the first question. And the other one is on, can I ask? Oh, I'll ask it later, thank you.
Thank you. As for education technologies, I think, we want to be concerned in terms of guidance. Obviously, the asset is growing at a very good pace, so it's growing 3x year on year. And indeed, when we give guidance, we wanted and we want to be conservative, so it's better, you know, under promise and not to deliver. So generally, we are very optimistic at how these assets are being operated and how they are positioned in the market. So, you know, as of coming, like next quarter, I'm not sure that there will be any consolidation that will impact our financials. But as you know, situation is pretty dynamic, and we are pretty acquisitive. So, and we never were shy about expressing our interest in the sector, in the edtech sector. So, you know, never say never. But of course, we have assets with pass to control, such as Uchi or Skill Factory. And of course, I expect that medium term we will increase our shares in this company. And referring, you know, to the previous questions from Caesar, as far as I understand from my colleagues, we initially, not all of us heard the full question. And when I was answering, I answered the question on the cash remaining at OTO. And I think there was the second question about the burn. And my colleagues will now address this question because I just didn't hear it. I think Matthew and Tatiana will address it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so we do anticipate that given the seasonality, the level of burn of O2O will increase in the second quarter for a couple of reasons. As you recall, last year there was a peak of the pandemic in the second quarter, which allowed ride-hailing businesses to significantly reduce all variable costs by reducing driver as well as customer subsidies. We have done the same, so Citymobil had a very strong improvement in unit economics in Q2. This is reversing a bit this year, and I think you heard some comments from our peers as well on this front, that demand is coming back quite strongly. And, for example, there is a little bit of a supply issue, so we are, of course, investing into drivers in order to ensure high customer quality. So in terms of burn rate in absolute terms, it is likely to be higher for Citymobil, for example. On the other hand, if you look at this business and where it was in Q1, we are extremely happy with the trend we're seeing as the burn versus GMV has declined by 15 percentage points year on year. So the business is seeing significant improvement in its economics. Delivery Club, as we mentioned, last quarter actually saw positive unit economics already in February, and we anticipate a significant reduction in the burn rate of Delivery Club for 2021. Of course, Samokat is in a very active expansion phase, as Matthew mentioned. They are going to be launching in all the largest Russian cities in the next couple of months. You can see in the numbers, you know, revenues are growing 10 times, orders are growing like 8 times year on year. This will be shown in the GMV numbers and so on. So, of course, the associated burn, given that they're opening a significant number of additional dark stores and hiring additional staff and so on, will increase this year. But in terms of the performance of existing dark store base, we're very happy with the performance it is showing in terms of the timelines, operational break-even. So in aggregate, there could be, of course, some increase in total burn rate in Q2, but economics are improving, and we're confident about these assets reaching break-even and very supportive, positive economics in the coming years. Thank you.
Thank you. May I have another question? So during the previous call, you mentioned you had 3.5 million paying subscribers. Maybe could you update where do you stand now in terms of subscribers for your VK Combo loyalty program?
So the joint paying subscribers of Combo and Music, it's about 4 million.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We're now going to take our next question from Vyacheslav Dyktyarev from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the call. A couple of questions. Firstly, on margins, but more on a high level, having moved Eclipse and a few other projects into the new initiative segment, do you see certain sustainable medium-term level of margins in the communication and social segment, please?
Yes, hi, it's Matthew. Sorry, apologies for the delay. As we've said, we're all in different locations and it's always difficult coordinating everyone. We would say around the mid-40s is a sustainable level.
Okay, thank you very much. And secondly, on O2OGV, there were some comments in the media around the different views on how to approach the management of the O2OGV between you and Sberbank. Have you aligned those views somehow with Sberbank? And if you can share your views, is, how structurally is it difficult to reasonably align the interests of the two large ecosystems without the negative consequences on the Delivery Club and City Mobile operational performance? So any thoughts would be appreciated here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I will take that. So I will take that. So you know, we are very happy with how the assets are being developed, and I think the results speak for themselves. So we are totally satisfied with O2O. As we said before, we are happy to and we plan to remain the shareholder of O2O. So as for our relations with our partners, I think they were structured in the initial deal agreements, and we live according to them since the inception of the JV, and we are not aware of any like changes or restructurings over this period.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. Our next question comes from Anna Kuprianova, Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. My questions will be on margin side. So given your analyzed outlook is for the margin improvement on, in terms of EBITDA, just for my understanding, I see that current margin is at the level of fourth quarter and implying a margin improvement. From where should it come and in which year period? I understand that second quarter will be not as good for games division. So does this mean second half for games should be better? And maybe you could add something on other details. And then I will ask my second question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's Matthew here. The first thing to note, of course, is that the comps for 2021 are not in the same shape as previous years. 2020 was obviously an exceptional year. We saw huge swings, and there are a number of factors there. So it's we're in a much more normalized environment right now. Q1 is always the low point for games margins. And as we said, we expect games margins to increase through the year, peaking in the fourth quarter, as they usually do. Now, as we said, 2020 was different. It had different dynamics. Obviously, Q2 and Q4, you saw lockdowns. And we also took advantage of those lockdowns by bringing in new users and also taking advantage of some of the cheaper traffic. So in terms of our margin guidance for this year, clearly we expect games margins to get better through the year. Also in the second quarter, as we just previously said, there is a mix shift. Games will, as we just gave guidance for games, and clearly ads, the comp is very much easier, so that we would expect that as a percentage of sales, obviously ads will be much higher in Q2 this year than it was last year. So if you put all of that together, there will then see a margin improvement through the year. And I would say, and we said this with the full year results, about 2 months ago, we would expect a more normalized shape to 2021 in terms of the margin profile through the year.
Thank you very much for your answer. And one small question on margin as well. In EdTech, I see that your margin is below historical level. I understand it's very competitive time for this market segment. Just for my understanding, how margin of a tech business can develop going forward, I mean mid-term, maybe in 2-3 years period, what is a normal level for EBITDA margin for this segment maybe?
Yeah, I will take that. So look, the asset is growing at a fantastic pace, like 3x year on year. It's also showing a record audience addition, record amounts of courses added. It's hundreds of new courses launched in quarter. That's absolutely record for this asset, and maybe I assume for the Russian market as well. So they were quite heavy in investments into growth. And as we look at the top line, we think that these investments are fully justified. So we like fully encourage the company to go ahead and invest this money, because we think this money are money well spent. But of course, as you know, this is a business with a positive margin. So going forward on a normalized level, we expect this business probably to be like at least 15-20% EBITDA margin. I mean, we could have a significantly higher margin even now. I mean, that there is, no necessity to keep the ongoing, for these investments to keep the ongoing business. But since we are after market expansion, we prefer to reinvest some of the margin that we get in this business.
Mm-hmm. That's very clear. Thank you. And a very quick follow-up on IVAS. Given it was a technical effect in January, February, can we assume that going forward you will get some compensation for this month in terms of VAT return? Say one off
no,
year
no,
or...
Sorry to interrupt. Just please follow on if there is another question.
But for this 500 plus million, we assume there is no compensation.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask
a question,
please by pressing star 1. Our next question comes from Anna Kurbatova, Alpha Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you very much. Also, one question on EdTech assets. We see that your largest assets, like Skillbox, Geekbrains, and also Uchi.ru, they are residents of Skolkovo. And it would be great if you like elaborate something in terms of what benefits these companies get currently as Skolkovo residents. For how long do you expect such benefits to continue? Is there any triggers why these companies will at some point of time will lose these benefits? So in general, what are advantages and maybe future disadvantages of being a Skolkovo resident? Thank you.
Yeah, hi, it's Fedorov here. I think I can take this. So basically, yes, indeed, some of these companies are or used to be residents of Skolkovo, and obviously with size, they're actually starting to lose the benefits that they got as Skolkovo residents. However, in a bigger picture, we don't think that the effect of the loss of benefits from Skolkovo will actually be material to their growth rates or their EBITDA margins. So actually, we are assuming that sooner or later, all of them will actually lose those benefits. However, combined with the new benefits for IT companies as part of the current government tax initiatives, some of these companies may be also eligible to the positive effect of some of those. However, as I said, given the very good growth rates and the growth stage of these companies, we are considering that these effects will not be material on their revenues or EBITDA.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
There are currently no further questions in the queue.
Great. Thank you all again very much for joining us today. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to contact the IR team at MailRU Group. Have a lovely day, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.